Hey, everybody, and thank you to my podcast. Thank you for coming and being with us. We're doing something new today. I brought two of my favorite humans on the planet into my podcast today, and we're going to just talk about life. We're going to talk about recovery after divorce. We're going to talk about finding your purpose as men. We're going to talk about how you've made decisions to change generational curses. We're just going to talk about life. And I'm so excited. So thank y'all for joining us right here on Real Talk Kim, my podcast. Welcome. Hey, Lincoln Presley.
Hello.
Hey, Morgan Scotland.
Hi.
So Lincoln is 22 and Morgan is 24. And Morgan is my praise and one of my praise and worship leaders here at the church, Church of the Harvest, Fayetteville. And this little man right here, they're both 6'5". So I stand in between them all the time to take pictures because the only time I ever look tiny is in between y'all.
Love that.
Like, how'd y'all get so tall?
I don't know.
Like, what?
I feel like that's a question that we should be asking you.
Well, my ex-husband was 6'2", so I just think that God knew that mom wanted to feel petite ever so often. So she gave me big old giants, sweetest boys on the planet. So Lincoln last year traveled with me on the road for about a year and a half full time.
Like 2 years.
2 years, yeah. And we were like buddies, man. And then all of a sudden he decided that he was going to...
I was in search of higher education.
Yes.
So I went to college.
Yeah, but so he is going to be one of the first ones to finish college in our whole entire family. How does that make you feel, man?
Educated.
So what made you decide that you loved music? Like, you sing so beautiful. Like, you're my favorite singer on the planet.
You're so talented.
Man. Yes.
Yeah.
And, like, when you start singing, you can hear the whole church just go, Like, what made you realize that music was your future?
I don't know. I mean, for the longest time when we were growing up, it was sports. And then I'm not good at sports. So I had to find another way to get my emotions and just get my words out. And that was playing music. And picked up Papa's guitar.
Yeah.
And then just started playing.
And I remember that one Christmas that literally none of us knew that you could sing or play. Do you remember that? And we were all sitting around, and we have a tradition in our family where we read the Christmas story. And we decided to ask Morgan, won't you show us what you're learning on your guitar? And all of a sudden that boy started playing and singing, and all of us about passed out. Do you remember that?
I wasn't singing yet. I was still learning how to play.
Okay.
The first time I actually sang in front of anyone was at the church when it was Zach Staff was still here.
It was like by your birthday, around your birthday, though.
Well, it was like the youth event where like the youth took over service.
Yeah.
And then I sang like a Reliant K song. And that was the first time I sang. It was in front of everyone at church.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And now you've not stopped.
No.
Now I remember, Morgan, whenever you started... when you really stepped into praise and worship, you didn't want anything to do with church.
I didn't, but that was just because of a lot of different things. Just seeing...
Because of me?
Well, not just because of you. It was just a lot of the things I did see in the church.
What's going on with you over here?
I'm listening.
He looks like I'm being left out.
No, I'll get distracted if I don't stare at something.
Uh-huh, well, I'm coming over to you.
I'm trying to stay on top of
it. I remember we were doing Preachers of Atlanta, a segment for Preachers of Atlanta. And I was sitting there, and I was going to... They asked us, because they never really gave us a script. They just would sit us at a table.
And just tell us kind of what... a general idea of what to talk about.
And so they like, we're going to start... Do you remember that? We're going to start this camera rolling, and we're going to have 15 cameras in your face, and y'all got to figure out what you want to talk about. So I was going to basically throw y'all both under the bus.
Yeah, we got the...
Did it pretty quick, too.
I was like...
Right out of the gate.
Yes. I was like, let me just throw my kids up under the bus and ask them why they aren't participating in our church. I was like, boys, I travel every week, and how come y'all are involved in our church? And I remember it's clear, my whole heart went to my toes when you said, because we don't like your church, and you basically joined in with them. Y'all remember that?
Yeah.
But that was kind of a great shift for us.
I think that definitely helped us grow and
I'm glad something made us communicate.
Yeah.
Because I had been wanting to go to family therapy since I was like in ninth grade. So finally we get cameras and then we have to talk about it. So I was all there for it. So when she decided she wanted to start talking, I think I just might have unleashed the weight of like 6 years of just really wanting to talk
right
about
when
things.
The cameras were rolling too.
Because it's not just something you bring up.
Yeah.
But it worked out. It worked. I think that what it did do well was it started a conversation that we were allowed to have with each other.
Yeah. And I remember truly, like, even today when people ask me about Preachers of Atlanta, the one thing that I remember most about it was that healing. I believe in one day so much healing took place in our families because we were able to talk and I was able to own things to you guys and be able to say I was sorry, because so often, you know, communication kills assumption, communication heals so much, but a lot of times we just cover it up in families and act like it's not there. And man, that day, I remember I said, well, what's it going to take for y'all to get involved with our church, with my church? And you were like, y'all, you need to sit down. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
You remember saying that to me?
No, but yes. I'm sure it happened.
You said.
Oh,
Mom,
okay, yeah.
Because I don't have any rhythm.
Well, you're just awful at it.
You're just on 11. It's hard to get you like on a tempo that's less than 11.
I know. And I try so hard. And I remember my whole life, even Uncle Clint used to tell me all the time when I would be at singing on the front line at World Harvest, he'd be like, can't you hear it? And I'd be like, no.
You sounded just like him.
I know. Like, I want to hear the tempo. I want to hear the rhythm, but I just can't hear the rhythm.
And it's amazing because everyone in the family has it except for you.
I know. What's up with that?
I think it's there. I just think that you're not really...
I can't hear it. Like, I literally, whenever I want to sing a song, I'm
oh, I know.
I'm
you start when you're ready.
Oh, it's a remix every single time.
She doesn't wait for the beat to come around. She's just like, the beat will come around for me.
No, yeah, everything.
Because I'm going now.
You. Nothing else matters.
Well, so I do. That is one of the seasons in our life that I loved, because I do believe that's where so much healing came into place. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for Preachers of Atlanta for that. And man, I'm super proud of you boys. I'm proud that y'all walked through a divorce. Let's talk about divorce. Let's talk about how it feels coming from and nothing's off limits. Like, tell exactly how you feel. Like, how does it feel coming out of a marriage with a mom and a dad for 17 years that really wasn't ever really that good? Mm-mm. And no.
Yeah. I think that was the part of it that I don't want to say we got lucky, because we certainly didn't, but it was not a shock for us. And so I think I don't know about Morgan. I can't speak for him. He can speak for himself. But for me, I've always been somebody that really processed everything as it happened, and I've always been very just like just observing everybody, even people I don't know. So I was very sort of like, as it was happening, I knew what was going on. I was very aware of the situation. And that's why I think with parents...
You knew we were split.
Oh, I mean, it wasn't even like a something that I had to come to terms with or something that I was... It's just, as long as I can remember, it was not... It was... I think there was just something about, like, parents that were willing to not care that their kids could hear them being in a marriage.
Oh.
Like, it's not... I think I might have worded that wrong. I was like...
No, it's the truth.
It's just something about, like, at some point, the anger gets so big... That you just forget that, oh wait, like I forgot I was trying to create a model for my kids to follow, because they're gonna have more kids and this is still my name that they're carrying on. So I think for me, the very beginning, I was just always sort of forcing myself to, one, take care of myself, to taking care of the house or others, and then also making sure that I wasn't ignoring what was happening, but I was processing it as it was going, so it wasn't like hitting me in the face later.
Yeah. You know what, I remember one thing you said on Preachers of Atlanta, and what's so sad is that me and your father were a perfect example of toxic, raised in religion, both of us preachers' kids, and both of us tore up from the floor up and never ever really had a way to express ourselves. And so when we found each other, we were both so broken, and then we brought y'all into broken situations, and were a typical example of religion, of how you fake it and you never make it. And man, we were broken. And I hate that you guys had to go through that with me. I hate that it took a divorce for me to fall flat on my face and find me. And so, yeah, man, that sucks that your lullaby every day growing up was...
Screams.
Screams.
Yeah.
It's quite poetic if you think about it.
Yeah.
Beautifully dark.
Beautifully dark. And you know what? I'm just grateful because I look at us today and we're not perfect.
Yeah.
But y'all are proof that you can walk through divorce and you can walk through relationship deterioration of your parents. And y'all don't have a real close relationship with your father. And we stay close, but we still have our turmoil. Is that a word?
I don't think so.
No? It still can be tumultuous at times.
Tumultuous. But we're growing. And so I'm just really proud of y'all, man. I'm really proud that y'all could be strung out on drugs somewhere because of the pain that you've encountered and the stuff that you've had to go through. But you went to counseling, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, Lincoln's always loved counseling.
I just have been...
He even fell in love with his counselor.
I love her.
It was just for me, I was... My brother, when the divorce was happening, was having a hard time. So he was processing it, and everyone could kind of tell, because you were a little...
Because you were putting holes in the wall.
You're an angry little boy, so I could tell that he was really processing it.
And he was putting holes in the walls and telling us he failed, but he was falling a lot.
He had brain damage at that point.
But he made it.
I did.
Come on, boo, you made it.
Yeah. Well,
you were making it.
I saw him... showing all the signs of a kid that was dealing with a divorce that was happening. But for me, it was always so frustrating because I never, like, I can never remember a point in my life when I was just like, I think I'm really having a hard time with the fact that I don't have two parents right now. But it was just something that I've always wanted to deal with, and I haven't really, I never felt like I had processed it. I wasn't sure if I was or not. There was a lot I didn't know. And so I decided to go to therapy to see a counselor so that I could, somebody could ask me the right questions who didn't know anybody that I knew, and they could just ask me questions so that I could talk to myself about it. And it was the greatest decision I ever made.
Yeah.
Because I didn't, it was just like I didn't even know what, so the therapy, it's like, you don't want to go because it's just somebody asking you how it makes you feel, but... When it's somebody you don't know asking you how it makes you feel and you're paying for it, it's kind of like, oh, let me tell you how it makes me feel. And then they ask more questions and it leads to you just like
falling on their
couch.
Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's the greatest.
You didn't go.
I went once and then I hated it.
You did what
worked
for you.
Yeah.
It's not for everybody.
I just didn't like how they dissected everything and then told me that was what was wrong with me. And in the situations I put myself in were because of this, and I didn't like that because I knew that wasn't true.
I think for me, one of the hardest things, I keep sitting on the couch talking to you, I'm very transparent with our life, and I talk about our life a lot, so I think every weekend I'm going through therapy as I speak. I tell everything, you know? But I think the one thing that probably bothered really messed with me, and I had to overcome it, was that I'm preaching to the world. And I had two cunt sons that were still dealing with the ramifications of getting through life. And how can I go preach to the world and God trust me, with millions of people and my own family having to recover and find out who we are. But we're doing it, and I'm proud of us.
I'm very proud of us, yeah.
I am too. You guys have grown into some incredible boys. And
it's hard to find a template for our family, so it's kind of like I feel like we've had to just... sort of make up a weird kind of rule book as we go, because it's just I don't think that people are in this situation very often.
Yeah. And I really do, though. I think that there's a lot of people that are going through, we just don't hear about it.
Yeah.
Because most people, they hide everything in their house. And so they don't speak about it very often.
Yeah.
So therefore there's no forum. There's no tip. There's no pattern for anybody to go off of, and then everybody's living in their houses feeling like they're screwed up, feeling like they're embarrassed, they got family secrets. And I think that that's one thing that I'm super proud of us three for, is that we're telling it.
Yeah.
And we're talking about it, and we're talking about the mistakes that we've made and how we're recovering. And this way, so many other people out there that don't have a map, they can maybe get hope from us to see that we went through it.
Yeah.
And we're getting through it.
And that's why we're here.
And that's why we're here doing a podcast about it, because I believe that communication is healing. So what else we want to talk about?
Oh, man.
What else we want to talk about? How about blended family? Yeah. Okay, so when I met Mark, how old were you guys?
I was
10th grade.
10th grade. Yeah.
Or you're getting married when I was in 10th grade.
Yeah, and you got mad because I got married on
the night before my birthday.
And you were mad because you felt like it was going to take...
It wasn't my birthday dinner, it was a reception dinner at Chili's. What kind of reception dinner is that?
And Lincoln and I were like buddies. Like, we would watch movies every night. And
over, it was a culture shock.
It was a culture shock for sure. And but we're making it through that too.
Making it through, we... Cross that path, sister. I
talk about it.
I have realized the joys of sleeping in my own bed, and I have also grown almost a foot since then. So I just can't really, you know, fit in the bed with anyone else. So
No.
We are still best buds, though.
Yeah, we're still close, but that was a very huge culture shock because
yeah.
All of a sudden, not only did I marry a man 15 years older than me, but I did it at the night of your birthday, and we did it within 24 hours. We decided we were going to get married.
It was fast.
It was fast because he was here. And
I hadn't met him or seen him before yeah, we got married.
You weren't here, were you?
No.
You were in Florida.
I met him after he became my guy.
I remember that.
I forgot about that.
That was funny.
Oh, my God. Morgan was living in Orlando, Florida. And how long we been going, y'all?
Because I was with Taylor, and we were gone, because we had been to L.A. and back,
yep.
I think like 3 months.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
So I've always, and probably this is the reason why I have so much to say, and I'm real talking, is because I've always kind of jumped off the cliff, and I'm not afraid to jump into anything, but one thing that I'm learning is that you probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
I probably should have let... I guess because I was thinking y'all were older. You know, y'all were
I
like...
I mean, and I was older.
Y'all were older, and so... Not you, but him. And so I wasn't even thinking about it, and I just knew that y'all would love Mark.
I do love Mark. Everyone loves Mark.
I know you
Everyone loves Mark.
Yeah.
I think that it's, of course, a challenge when you move in with anybody, or anybody moves in with you, learning how to cohabitate.
Yeah.
So I think if it was a blended family, or if it wasn't a blended family...
I do remember how anal he was when we first started.
Still.
Well, but he has chilled so much. He has chilled a ton. And y'all have chilled a ton.
Yeah, I think everyone had to grow up.
So hope for all you blended family.
Grow up. Grow up a little.
Hope for the blended families out there. It is hell when you first get a blended family in action. It is hell.
Everyone's right.
Everyone's right. And it's still going to have some stuff, some hiccups, even after 6 years of marriage with your children, because... You know, my problem was y'all my babies, okay? Like y'all were my ride or dies. Y'all were the ones that, you know, we picked up in the middle of the night and moved from Orlando, Florida to Atlanta, Georgia. Moved in with my mother and father, divorced overnight, and y'all, we were all we had.
Yeah.
And we were all kind of healed together. Mm-hmm. Like, it took us what, 3 or 4 good years to really start seeing ourselves out of that hole of just figuring out, not feeling broken.
I don't even know. I feel like it, for everyone, it was just like a different... It's hard when you with blended families, because everyone's gonna, especially if it's your first time blending families, I don't think anyone knows how to work around that. But I think it's just... It's a lot of just like... I think you just have to almost wait for people to grow up and just get bored.
Yeah,
eventually you get tired of fighting, and it's just like I wish there was a formula to make, because you're dealing with some people that have been living this way their whole life, and then a young person who hasn't been living this has been like, it's just really it's a,
and they're not your dad.
Yeah, and they're not your dad.
They're not your dad. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so that's definitely hard also. Let's talk about Papa.
Sure.
Papa, let's talk about dementia. How do we feel about that? Like, our family's gone through some stuff, y'all.
Yeah.
And Papa was kind of like the stand-in for us, and that was rocky too. You know, because as Papa was always kind of strong and you know, Papa.
Well, he was like the leader of the family.
Yeah, and now
sentence was.
He was. And now we're seeing our family going through another situation of having to deal with sickness, of him becoming a child almost. Like y'all are the man in his life.
Yeah.
How's that?
Well, I feel like in his life we are the wrong man because
it's just a lot of yelling.
We get treated a lot differently than everyone else does, which is not his fault because it's the disease, but it's definitely been a struggle.
Yeah.
But definitely been different. Totally just, different situation than we've ever
it's
been through.
Not like I think that we've just kind of been, I think our family's very comfortable being comfortable, and I think we're all we're very introverted, as surprising as that may seem, but I think that we also, like, I don't know, we have never really gone through a big issue in our family,
and this is
a very big deal, especially with someone who's been in it the longest.
Yeah,
it's like it's I think we needed a little discomfort, and I feel like a lot of different places in my life in the past few years, actually since I turned 20 really,
yeah,
has just been sort of like life making me be uncomfortable and deal with situations because it knows that I won't do it on my own.
And I think I did that a lot too, because I know when we all weren't really talking a lot, y'all were still kind of close, but I know with me that would happen. I would just get super comfortable, and I knew that as soon as something, just the slightest thing went wrong, like my whole life would just felt like it was going to crash down. So I always had to put myself in an uncomfortable situation in a very like different like habits, like a different scene almost.
Yeah,
you just have to change everything.
Absolutely.
Just so it's easier to cope and deal with things when it does happen.
Yeah,
it's kind of like whenever I don't know if you ever got bullied, but
did you?
Oh yeah,
you got bullied.
I had bullies all, but I just didn't care enough. Like, I remember one time somebody, it was like in middle school, somebody was picking on another kid. It was in high school. I think it was ninth grade. Somebody was picking on another kid, and I, like, stopped him, and I was like, are you bullying him right now? And it made the guy that was bullying him so uncomfortable that he stopped, but it's almost like I gave myself up as sacrifice, because then he started being rude to me.
He started what?
He started being mean to me. But it's like, what I'm getting to is, like, if somebody, I mean, I think I'm much happier than all of those people combined right now. I just looked a lot like a little girl, almost up until my shoulders broadened after high school. But
you have the pretty features.
Thank you.
You
so
and
much.
Morgan
Thanks,
have
Mom.
Really beautiful features.
Thanks for that.
You did not get my nose. Y'all did not. Neither one of you got my nose.
But it's kind of like whenever like somebody will say something to you, and you know it hurts your feelings in a way that you weren't expecting it to hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like that, almost like when you put your hand on something hot and it's kind of like you're holding your breath because you know it's about to sting really bad. It's kind of like someone says something that's so like hurtful to you, and you kind of like your stomach drops out because you're like waiting for yourself to feel it. And that's what it just feels like. Life would just continually just kind of like, it was that moment of just holding your breath before something bad happens. But as time goes on, you start to like not be as stressed out about the pain that's going to happen, but you start to like decipher what is the message behind this, because this has happened, this crazy stuff happens to me, I know I'm not living a life to deserve all of this, so what do I need to take from it?
Yeah.
And you won't even realize you're going through big hard situations.
Yeah, I think you start deciphering between the urgent things and the
exactly.
important things, you know what I'm saying, like things that used to bother you. That's where I'm at. So let's talk about this as we get ready to wrap this up. How long have we been going for? Does anybody know? 22 minutes.
Oh, we're on great time.
I hope y'all are loving this. We're just talking about life issues, life overcoming, because that's what life is all about. Life is about embracing who you were. Like, I definitely, you guys have always been my, you keep me humble. Y'all like, girl, bye. And it's about growing. It's about owning it. Like, I believe in life, you got to own your mess. You might have had a tumultuous Is that a word?
You were
closer.
We know what you mean.
Yes, closer. You might have gone through divorce like these boys. These boys never asked to be our children, and yet they were brought into our life because God knew, man, they were going to be able to go through it, get through it, and use it for their futures. So you are going to go through some things in life. It's just life. The Bible says that the rain falls on the just and the unjust. You're going to get in situations where you're going to grieve death. Your husband's going to die. Your parents are going to die. Your mom and dad are going to get divorced. You're going to be the only ones in the family that have had parents that were divorced, like my two sons, and always kind of feel like they're out of place and where they fit in the family. And their mama was working all the time, so they were with my family a lot. And so you're going to make it. That's what we hope this podcast will help you feel like you're overcoming. You know, you might have been in a relationship where your parents were dysfunctional like me and my ex were. But look at us now. Let's talk about that. Like, look at us. What, 2006 is when we went through the divorce?
Yeah.
And now we're 2018. Yeah. And look at us. Look at us making it.
Yeah.
It's been, you know, like 12 years.
Yes. Look at us making it. Look at us not allowing our circumstances to dictate our future, our season in our life to define our whole lifetime. Like, we ain't perfect now.
No.
We're not perfect. Y'all ain't perfect.
I think we're the first to admit that we're not.
No, we ain't perfect. But God. Like, we're proof.
But God.
Yes, we are proof that we can be human. And that's the one thing I do. I'm a good mama, ain't I?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know why I'm a good mama? I say, my boys are going to mess up. I don't put y'all in the glass house. We pick up the pieces. I don't let you beat yourself up over it. Every once in a while, get a hair up my tail and become a little strong, you know, like what you're going to do with your futures, what you got planned. And then all of a sudden, I realize you need to back up a little bit and let your boys be boys, because what you poured into them is showing through your life.
Yeah. I believe it.
So let's talk about now. Like, where we're
what
at.
What a start.
Are y'all so proud?
Yeah.
Are you proud of the church?
I'm proud of everything. I think that it was a long... It's... What has it been? 12 years now since we moved?
Yeah.
So we moved at 12 years. I remember at 20, I had realized that I had... Or is it... Yeah, 20 is when I had been... Because I had lived 10 years with my life, because we moved when I was 10 and 10 years without. And so... I had been like not. I hadn't known how to deal with everything, and then I hit 20. I was like, I think I started opening my heart to the possibility of a solution to, I don't know, maybe even feeling. I couldn't even cry a lot. Like, I just had no emotion.
Yeah, numb.
I was just like, I just really, but I still. It was weird because I was dealing with everything through humor, and that was my way of releasing instead of crying.
I feel like we need to talk about this. I think we need to back up for a second, and I think that we need to talk about, because what you're talking about right now leads from this season when all of us moved back to mom and dad's, and now I want you to talk about what you were just talking about. When we moved back to mom and dad's in 1996 and had to start all over again. And for that first, gosh, year, I wasn't present because I was in my bed depressed.
And you were at work.
And I was at work. And you were having to figure out life because you felt alone.
Uh-huh.
Remember that?
Yeah,
I know.
We and you didn't have... That. I had my cousins to go to class with and everything. My cousins. Yeah, yeah. So you were like... for real alone.
And I think that we need to talk about that. Like, I just felt a need, because when Lincoln was talking about that, I just remembered you talking about that season where you didn't feel like you had anybody, and that first year or two of the divorce, because I was broken, man. I remember laying in bed. I was depressed. I couldn't hardly get up out of bed. I would go to work and literally come home and get back in my bed.
You were so sad that I remember... Dad even came back for a little while.
Yeah.
And I was like, how are we going to move? And this bonehead is still in the house. We just moved. Why are you still here?
I know, but I kept trying to make it work. Because I was like a lot of you parents out there. I wanted to make my marriage. I wanted my children to have a mom and a dad. And so I stayed a lot longer than really I should have.
And it's like the worst thing you could possibly ever do for your kids is try to make it work when you know it's not going to.
Yeah. And I remember whenever I finally got the courage to be like, man, I'm going to die if I stay here, was when we were driving around in a car and you said, Mom, if you're doing this for me and my brother, don't. And I remember in that season, you were like, this is just killing all of us. And I think that was the first time I realized, man, this sucks, and this has hurt my kids. It is what it is, and the only thing that I can do is get out of the situation so we're not repeating these cycles, and I can begin to heal. And that's what we did, man. And that was a road, wasn't it? Yeah. It was a rough road, y'all. It was a rough, rough road for, what, 2 or 3 years, huh? Before we
really,
finally,
like 3, yeah.
Yeah, before we found our rhythm after divorce. So it was like 2006, 7, 8, 9. So really 2008, 2009 is when we started finding our rhythm.
Yeah.
And
I didn't really start getting into the rhythm until you did marry Mark.
Yeah.
And I think that's when...
I think it was just stability that we needed. And that was something that was stable.
I never heard this.
I mean, even still...
We started feeling like a family again, and not odd. The odd ones in the family.
Well, I think as much as it... As bad as it sounds, and I hope it doesn't sound too bad, but it was almost... You were missing out on, like, the man kind of annoying you just a little bit. So, like, you would always come back and, like, talk, and, like, to me... Because we never really were that close until recently. And I think maybe that's what it took. I think it took maybe just... A little annoyance to remind you that they're still, you know, your sons and everything.
Yeah, that's smart.
Man, that sucks.
No, why does everything have to suck after we say it?
Well, it doesn't. It just sucks for me because I wish I'm human. I wish that I could go back and I wish...
promise we don't care. I promise
and
it's not
and
something
that
we're
all that was supposed
about.
To happen so we could get here. So.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm thankful
that's
that
the reason
we are
we're
here.
Recording.
But it definitely sucks. You know what's hard for parents, I think, and this is why we lie to ourselves as parents, is that this hurts. Because we're very tight now. We're close. These boys have my heart. They're my legacy. And I'm proud as all get out of them. I just wish that we would have all had a better... I wish that this is why it's hard for parents. We wish that we could have done things differently. But the one thing that I have to understand is I'm human. I messed up. But you know what? We're making up for it now.
Yeah.
We're making up for it now.
Yep.
And we're saving a lot of people out there. So you are in college. What year?
I'm a junior.
Junior. And how's it going? Kennesaw State.
Yeah.
How's it going?
It's going great.
Yeah. How are you doing down there?
Did you want me to finish what I was saying earlier?
Yes, finish what you're saying earlier.
I didn't know. I didn't want to. I was trying to transition ADHD. Back into it, but I was like, I don't want to lose track of what.
Yes, go ahead.
College is great. It's.
But I want you to go back to what you were talking
about. I'm going to, okay. You know, we're going to.
Oh, you're going to flow.
Yeah, I was trying not to like, but I did it already. So back to what I was saying earlier. It does coincide because it was like a lot of just kind of figuring out. You don't really know when it's happening, that if everyone else is dealing with it or not, or if they've already processed it, or it's like, why are they fine? Or like, it's just a lot of, you don't communicate because it's such a weird situation to be in, but you don't think to communicate either. But I had just remembered that I was really searching for like a way to find, at least cry over my dad. I wanted to at least shed a tear. I wanted to like at least have that, because everyone has an issue with divorce. I have friends that would be in high school when their parents got divorced, and they would be like their life came to a halt, and I'm like, this has been happening to me since I was 10. Like, what's up with you? Aren't you grown? But it was like, no, everyone just processes everything differently, and I think that I'm always looking for a solution right away, so I never allowed myself to get to the problem in the first place, because I just knew there was something that needed to be solved. So I remember just kind of opening myself up to getting to that point where I could think about it.
Yeah.
And I remember driving down the road one day, and I like looked at my hand, and it looked exactly like how my dad, my knees were dry, like the way I was driving was
your
exactly
knees.
How my dad drove. And I was like, wow. I couldn't remember anything about him, but I do remember when I was little, and I feel like I was working harder to retain information about him because I knew I wasn't going to have forever with him. So I remembered exactly what his hands looked like, and I remembered that I was driving, and I was even listening to music that sounded like music that he would listen to. And I kind of like had lived my life kind of just feeling the weight of everyone kind of noticing that my dad's blood is half of my DNA. So I would say things and someone would be like, you sound like your dad. Your dad makes shocking statements like that. Just stuff like that that kind of brings you down every time someone says it, because they haven't said good things about him in the past, and you know he hasn't done good things. So it was because of that moment that I decided to maybe like go to therapy, to write about it. And I because I could remember that fact, I was able to say, okay, there is something there that I remember about him. I do care about him because I feel a certain way about this memory I'm having. And I just started drawing all these connections that were a lot alike with my dad and with me. And I think that there was a sort of like, I kind of got a little more aggressive in that season because I was sort of felt like I was defending his name because I knew about him now. But and I kind of got a little angry with everybody there. Yeah. Oh, I wasn't angry. It was just it wasn't me being angry. It was me being annoyed and irritated with the way that my life was going. And everyone seeing my own irritation with myself as just like anger. And so people would say, Lincoln, you're the angry, like that was my identity. Lincoln's the one who's going to pop off at you and yell at you. And he's the mean one. And so by going to therapy, I was able to.
I don't think you're mean.
Thanks. I was able to go to therapy and work through it with somebody who like genuinely cared about the situation. And it was really a great thing for, it was the greatest decision I made. But it was remembering that one moment and putting myself in a place where I like was allowing myself to remember things about him and to process things about him so that I could get to this point. And then it was just like from there, I started like, I went through my first major relationship and heartbreak in that one year.
Yeah,
I moved out in that one year. I moved out alone. I moved out that year. Went to a big college, a big school, university that year. I did a lot of things that year. And I think that getting to that one place in the beginning, it showed me that I don't have to have a dad and I don't have to have his identity. But there's a lot of times that you can make up this identity for your dad in place of all the times that he didn't show you himself what he was like. So it's like you kind of have to, in these beginning relationships and learning how to shave and all these things that a man would tell you how to do, you kind of have to like play pretend and say, this is how my dad would have done it. This is how I should open the door for her, because that's what, like, I feel like that was what he would have wanted me to do in this moment. And due to his circumstances, I wasn't able to get conversations like that. So there's something really empowering and you can release a lot by just creating a father for yourself, kind of.
Yeah. Man, you're strong. Yeah.
I'm a king.
You are a king. You're a very, very, I'm proud. I'm going to tell you something. I'm proud y'all both shaved beautiful. Nobody ever taught you how to shave, but y'all got it.
Still got ingrown hairs. I'm looking up.
Do you remember
hair removal specialist for my neck?
Do you remember when Morgan came down and he had started shaving and he had a hair up by his eye?
Yeah, because I started shaving. I didn't know where.
And how dare you bring that up?
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And now he is like.
Who's gonna show him?
Oh, who's gonna show me? I could show him.
Yeah, I didn't know you shaved your face.
I got it down now. Now you got it down now. Look how handsome he is. I'm just saying, these are the memories that we have because our life was in a different direction. But, well, I'm excited. Thank you guys for joining me.
Of course.
Y'all are amazing. So what are you doing with your college degree? What are you going for?
I'm going to school for public relations right now.
Yes.
I hope to help others and businesses not be problematic and adjust with the times.
And you like buy clothes, sell clothes, like you're a little entrepreneur.
I make money. I'm gonna find a way to make money.
He calls me all the time asking me for ideas on how to get more money. He's definitely got my CEO, my entrepreneur. Yo, I used to literally go to Shoney's when I was 10 years old and they had free suckers and I would steal them suckers. You know, and I would take them to school and I'd sell them for 25 cents.
I used to do that. You would get the nanny, like their babysitter would take us to Costco.
Yes.
And I would get the boxes of, it was like the full box. You know how you get the full size candy bars, but it's like a lot cheaper?
Yes.
And I would sell those to the kids at after school program because I know y'all weren't going to come pick us up on time. And it was a done deal. It went nothing.
Oh, man.
I didn't even know about
y'all
that.
Y'all turned out really well.
I sold
them
for real good. I was just buying mechanical pencils out of the vending machine with the money.
Yes.
It was a quick turnaround.
So you, my dear, what's your future look like? Singing?
Yeah, definitely something.
Writing music? Yeah. You got a SoundCloud?
I do have a SoundCloud.
What's your SoundCloud?
It's Mo Doggett, but Mo is spelled M-E-A-U-X.
Uh-huh. Mo Dog, he's got a great SoundCloud, writes his own music, does some covers. You're my favorite singer on the planet. And I'm excited about what God's going to do in your life. I'm excited about what you're doing, what the steps you're going, and the courage to jump like you are. What's your social media platforms?
My social media platforms are at Lincoln Presley. That's like the president spelled that way, but with a Y instead of an I, because my mom is creative. And I have a website.
Yes.
I write.
Very good writer.
It's the THEEVRGRN. So it's like evergreen, but without the vowels.
Yep.
.com.
Great, great, great. Anything you want to share? Do you have a website?
SoundCloud.
Just SoundCloud.
SoundCloud. Yeah. And what's your social media platforms?
I just have a Facebook and an Instagram.
And you're both single. The same. You're single.
And not looking.
And you're?
I'm very happy in a relationship.
What's your name?
Brooke.
Yeah, we love Brooke. We love Brooke a whole lot.
Brooke's a star.
So sorry, this one's taken, and they're very
And this one's taken as well.
And it's been a year and a half, and they're still very in love. And
how annoying.
This one's single, but he ain't looking. So I love you guys.
I love you.
Thank y'all for loving me.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for going through life with me, even the hiccups. But look at where we're at now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mama ain't struggling no more. Mama got some money.
Ain't nobody struggling around these parts.
Ah, won't it do it?
We communicate.
And y'all can keep up with me on my website, realtalkkim.com. All over social media as realtalkkim.com. And I just want to encourage you as we get off of here today to talk to your kids, man. Like, go on and let them tell you how they feel. The one thing that I discovered is we all have different feelings, but everybody's feelings are valid. And so give your kids permission. Give yourself permission to tell them you're sorry.
Make them cry. Yes. Let them cry.
Let them
tell
cry.
Your sons to cry and process their emotions. I'm so tired of grown men that don't know how to process their emotions.
This is me. He's doing
Deal with yourself. I'm going to go crazy if one more person isn't looking at their own brain for answers.
Yes, yes. Well, we love y'all so much. Stay strong. Be encouraged. Your ladder is going to be greater. And just because you've walked through some hiccups in life, just because you've gone through a divorce, this right here is proof, my two sons, that you can make it. You three can make it. And so you will have a better future. Your life is not going to stay the way it looks. And just believe it, see it, and be proud of yourself. Because you made it through some things that should have taken your tail out. I'm proud of you. Y'all proud of them?
I'm so proud.
You proud of them?
Very proud.
Couldn't be more proud.
Yes. And we love y'all so much. Thank you for spending this time with us.